How do you do? Mind coming with us? Destination, one of the more troubled places on the face of the earth. There we'll follow the strange experiences of a man who would never have been in that place at all, except for the fact that his heart and mind and life had been unshackled. From Chicago, Crossroads of America, the Pacific Garden Mission presents Unshackled, the unique transcribed dramatic series telling the real-life stories of actual people. For more than 87 years, the old lighthouse has offered the open secret of a new life to the men and women of Chicago's Skid Row. Now through Unshackled, it reaches straight to you right where you are with the same secret of the same new life. At the same time, it is reaching countless others on five continents. And the letters coming to us from so many different places tell us that wherever Unshackled is heard, it soon becomes known as the program that makes you face yourself and think. Contrary to usual procedure, Unshackled is now involved in a continued story. This is the third and final episode in the remarkable story of a man named Barney Litchman, and who has been widely known as Jack Litchman. Born in 1890 in New York City and of Jewish parents, Barney became a juvenile delinquent. Later, he began drifting across the country, working at whatever came to hand. At last, a street preacher in Los Angeles attracted Barney's notice, and he began attending services regularly. And then after receiving Christ, he worked his way through Bible school and went to Africa in 1918 as a missionary with the Africa Inland Mission. He was stationed in a remote section of Congo. Although only 4 feet, 10.5 inches tall, he had a powerful, booming voice and immense determination. In time, he earned the respect and affection of the people of his district. Always he was a man for the direct approach, whether in his dealings with men or his dealings with God. You'll better understand what we mean by direct as we bring you this third and final episode in the series on Jack Litchman, right now on Unshackled.
I've always believed that God likes for us to be direct and to the point. I certainly hope that's true, because that's the way I've always been. And I suppose that as good an example as any is something that happened in 1925. Now, that year, I was due to go home to the United States on furlough. Much as I looked forward to going, I faced a fairly typical missionary problem. That was how to pay my way. And like every other missionary, I took my problem to God in prayer. Now, Lord, I have a long way to go just getting to the seacoast. Then there's the passage money for the boat. I'll have to go all the way to Seattle to report to the people who have been helping me with their gifts. And I must pay for bed and board as I travel. Now, Lord, as close as I can calculate, I need $1,000. I don't know where it's to come from, but you do. And I'm leaving the whole problem in your hands. And, Lord, I'm thanking you now in advance for $1,000. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that was that. I had no doubt that God would provide the money. And just before it was time to start out on the furlough journey, a letter came to me. sent by the same men's Bible class that had been supporting the work for several years. I tore open the envelope. Sure enough, it contained a check. When I read the face of it, I was surprised to discover that the amount of the check was for $900. Well, to my mind, this called for more prayer. Now then, Father, I am most grateful to you for this gift of $900, but 900 is not 1,000. And I know that your resources are unlimited. So, Lord, when I reach New York City, I will expect that you will provide the additional $100. With that matter taken care of, I faced the problem of getting to the Atlantic coast to board a steamship. One of our missionaries solved the first part of it by offering to drive me the first 200 miles.
Hang on, Jack, we're on our way. Well, Jack, another river to cross.
You know, if this country would just build a few bridges, I'd like to own a motorcycle myself.
Well, there's no bridge at this point. Two logs fell across the stream is the whole story.
Yeah. Well, can you get your motorcycle across on those?
Yeah, of course. One log for my feet, one log for the motorcycle, and I'll wheel her straight across.
Part of that trip was just plain cross country. Part was on a mine road. Then at Abba, I left my friend with his motorcycle and rode a truck as far as Buta on the Itimburi Ruby River. A small river steamboat was waiting there, and I went aboard and took the lowest priced stateroom. It was next to the boiler room and so hot that a big plumber's candle, my only source of light, melted in less than an hour. Well, at Bumba, I took a larger steamer down the Congo River to Leopoldville, where it was necessary to change my money, which was in the form of an English check and was in pounds. Just then, the franc was dropping in value so rapidly that in the process of changing from pound to francs to dollars, I lost $10 at each transaction. With American dollars, I was able to buy my steamship ticket, and a rail journey took me to Matadi Port on the Congo River, where the American freighter was loading for the voyage to New York.
Oh, I beg your pardon, sir, but we are not taking on any passengers just yet.
Oh? Well, they told me in Leopoldville that I could board as soon as I reached Matadi.
Well, I'm afraid that's out of the question. The ship is just not ready. Now, there's a clean, quiet hotel just a short walk from here. I suggest you check in there.
Well, that was on a Saturday. I checked in at the hotel and was bothered by the fact that it was costing me $5 a day. And that, in 1925, and in a West African seaport town, was a good bit of money. In spite of the captain's insistence that he could not take me aboard, it crossed my mind that the Lord might have other plans. Well, the following morning, I received a note from the captain asking me to come aboard. Needless to say, I wasted no time in getting to the riverfront.
Ah, glad to have you aboard, Mr. Litchman.
Well, not as glad as I am to be aboard. Tell me, Captain, what happened?
Well, I received word from the owners that we must leave this afternoon, even if the work of lading is still incomplete. Now, right now, I'm awaiting further instructions, and we're loading palm fat just as quickly as we can get it aboard.
The captain's orders were changed a little later, and we remained in port until the following Friday. but I was securely aboard and saving the $5 a day that the hotel room was costing. Well, the voyage, when we finally got underway, was uneventful, but a little slow. We put in at Grand Bassam on the Ivory Coast to load a deck cargo of 1,000 tons of mahogany logs. But from there, it was a straight run to New York Harbor. Now, you may recall that my family, with the exception of my father, had been very bitter about my being converted to Christianity. I wanted to see my relatives, but when I went to find them, I was worried about what sort of a reception I would have.
Yes? What is it? Barney! My son! It is Barney, isn't it?
Of course it's me, Papa. Who else do you know is 4x5, huh?
Come in, Barney. Come in. Mary, come here. Your brother is here. Your brother Barney is here.
Did you say Barney, Papa?
Who else?
Barney, it's so good to see you.
This from you, Mary? It seems to me the last time you and Papa discussed me, you wanted to have me buried in effigy.
Not now, Barney. Papa was right. Much better you should be a good Christian than a bad Jew.
Now, you may remember that I'd been very plain-spoken with the Lord about the final $100 that was needed to give me an even 1,000 for my furlough expenses. It may sound strange, but I was so sure that this amount would be met that when I reached our mission headquarters office in New York, I asked about it at once.
Good to see you, Barney. Sit down. I have a great many questions to ask about the work in your part of the Congo.
Well, I'll answer all of them. But first, you answer one for me.
All right.
Did any money come in earmarked for my use?
Why, yes. As a matter of fact, it arrived just yesterday. The amount was, let me see...
$100 even.
What? Why, yes, that's right. $100 even. How did you know?
During that furlough, I visited the church in Seattle that gave its support to our work. I bought a motorcycle and came to a surprising conclusion, which I announced to a secretary in our New York headquarters.
Mr. Lichman, do you want me to begin making arrangements for your passage back to Africa?
No, I'm not going to Africa.
You what? Well, this is the first I've heard of a change in assignment.
Well, I just heard of it myself. But the Lord has told me I'm to go to Belgium, learn to speak French, and take special training. And that is how it all worked out. The Belgian government decided to give me training at Brussels in tropical medicine, to be followed by 5 weeks of laboratory and hospital work at Leopoldville. When all this training was completed, I had the title of health officer. Whenever anyone asked about it, I usually told them I was an HBD, meaning half-baked doctor. And half-baked or not, I soon found plenty of doctoring to do after I returned to the Congo. The government people knew of my newly acquired training. So when there was an outbreak of bacillary dysentery, I was called in.
Monsieur, it is imperative that all the people of your district receive vaccinations. You are not only the logical man to do this, you are the only man. Therefore, the colonial government will require your services until the danger is past.
That was in 1932. To do so many vaccinations in a short time, I had to organize a little assembly line. Syringes had to be filled and filled and filled again. Each person had to receive a vaccination certificate. My own young men from the mission served as my assistants. And in a period of 6 weeks, I gave 32,000 injections. At one point, we experienced a great religious revival that lasted for 3 years. It began in the village of Luvara Ngira, when one of the men of the village remained in a coma for several days and gave almost every appearance of being dead. When he regained consciousness, the people began to question him.
Your soul was not here. You lay as though dead. Where have you been?
I have been to hell.
Did you see other people there?
Yes. Many people.
Were any of them the people of Jesus?
No. None of the people of Jesus were in hell.
What about that?
The expression "people of Jesus" referred to our mission converts. As the word spread among the villages, people gathered in groups of 200 or more and came to the mission station, often running at a dog trot and singing hymns as they came, making a swelling river of humanity as they met on converging forest paths. There were good times and bad, times of success and times when failure seemed very near. But through the years, we managed to provide better disease control. We encouraged truck gardening and better agriculture. We taught people to read and write. Best of all, we were able to lead thousands to receive Christ. And these were set free of the bondage of fear that goes with being a spirit worshiper. Times were slowly changing, though. When I went to Congo in 1918, it was still old Africa. Not so different from what Stanley and Livingston had seen. But by 1960, things were changing rapidly. I'll tell about that in just a moment.
Before Mr. Lichman tells of the events leading up to his departure from Africa, here is Harry Saulnier, who is superintendent of Pacific Garden Mission. Harry, you are probably the most deeply concerned individual at the time of the beginning of these unshackled programs. How did the program begin?
Well, we of the old lighthouse felt that the world, or at least some small part of it, should hear of the miracles of redemption that have taken place down through the years since the doors were opened in 1877.
And now most of the world can hear.
That's true. But we had no plans for such an extensive outreach. The whole project has outgrown our plans, our hopes, and, very often, our strength.
You're not complaining about that.
No, no. We are continually amazed and delighted, especially when letters come in telling us of listeners who have received Christ. But we are sometimes a little awed by the size of the job, and we have to be careful that the tail doesn't wag the dog. Pacific Guard Mission is a rescue mission, first and always. The production of a radio program must always be a very secondary activity. To justify the effort and expense, we must be certain that the program is truly effective. This is why letters from those who listen are so important.
And that's why we're asking you to make a special point of writing now this week. Tell us that you listen, what station brings you the program. If you know of someone whose life has been changed after hearing the program, we especially want to know about that. Write to Unshackled, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago 5, Illinois. That's Unshackled, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago 5, Illinois. Now let's return to the true life story of Barney Lichman, nicknamed Jack.
Well, in July of 1960, we heard of the revolt by the soldiers in Leopoldville. There was an effort made after that to move most Americans out of the country, but I chose to stay. Well, things began to look really serious when in December of 1960, I made an auto trip to Uganda. One of our teachers was going home on furlough, and I agreed to drive her to Uganda. Also in the car were two of the ladies of the mission station who wanted to do some Christmas shopping in the neighborhood country. One of the ladies, a Miss Barth, was driving the old car.
There seems to be a crowd of people in the road up ahead.
Well, if there's any trouble, let me do the talking. I must know half the people in this district anyway.
It's a roadblock. That's what it is. Better stop.
You're right. They've dug a ditch right across the road.
Why are you digging up the road?
The road belongs to us. We can do as we wish. Anyway, you wait here till Dima comes. He'll be here soon.
Dima, the councilman? I know him. When I find him, I think he'll straighten this all out. We turned around, although the men would have liked to stop us, and drove back up the road. Before long, we met this Dima, who had once been a mission convert and was now a government councilman. He promised to help, so we turned around and went back to the roadblock. But even Dima's presence would not persuade the men to help us through. At last, Dima and I filled in a part of the ditch ourselves, and I drove through. Later, and before we reached the Uganda border, there were three more roadblocks, each guarded by Congolese, and most of them were friendly. Our real troubles came the next day on the return trip, with the car loaded with Christmas packages. We passed several checkpoints with varying degrees of difficulty. Then, at a place called Jalesiga, we were stopped by a party that was noticeably aggressive.
We must open each of those packages. They have evidently reached you through the mail.
Why, that's ridiculous. We'll be here all day.
Besides, those are parcel post packages from the United States.
Anything from Belgium?
No, we have no dealings with Belgium.
Well, go ahead. You may pass.
Now, you wait. You wait. You wait.
Hey, let go of my arm.
I'll pull you out of the car.
I don't think so. The man had hoped to drag me out of the car, but as we gathered speed, he was forced to let go. The rest of our trip back to the station was uneventful, but we all knew that there had occurred a basic change in conditions in Congo. On January 26, 1961, we were ordered out, with no opportunity to choose to stay. Later, most of our missionaries went back. But at the age of 71, and with my legs giving out at last, I was brought back to the States. Now, this I can confidently say. Through all the years in Africa, more than 40 of them, God never failed to provide for the things I needed. I don't mean luxuries. I'm talking about the things really needed so that I could continue to do the work that had to be done.
Now, you and the others have left all sorts of monuments. Schools, transformed people, better health, better education, and above all, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you think of any other things you've left that might be called monuments?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes. There is a round mountain peak not far from my old station. It has no trees on the top and a fringe of them about halfway down. And that mountain looks so much like my nearly bald head that all the people in that part of the country called it Mount Jack. Is that what you meant by a monument?
No, not exactly. But it will have to do. There are others, though, in the hearts of the people, and those monuments are the most important of all. Now, friend, God's plan for you may have nothing to do with going into some distant place, or, of course, it may. But you will never know the possibilities that can come to be until you come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may counsel with someone who is very genuinely concerned about you, to To do so, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago 5, Illinois. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago 5, Illinois. The telephone number in Chicago is Wabash 2-1462. This week, please write and tell us that you are listening to Unshackled, that you're asking others to listen, and that you are praying for the continued outreach of the program. And when you write, address Unshackled, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago 5, Illinois. Heard in this final episode of the Barney Litchman story were Russ Reed as Mr. Litchman, with Harry Elders, Bob O'Donnell, Norman Gottschalk, Rita Ascott, and Helen Malone. Original music, Lucille Becker. Unshackled is produced and transcribed by Pacific Garden Mission to show the evidence in the real life stories of actual people that it is really true that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Now, we're asking you to please write a letter this week. Your letters, your encouragement are of the greatest importance, and this is most especially true at this time. Remember, the address is Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago 5, Illinois. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago 5, Illinois. Your letter is coming in now telling us that you're listening, that you're asking others to listen, and if possible, giving us the testimonies of those whose lives have been changed after they have heard Unshackled will be tremendously helpful in making it possible for us to plan the future of the program. When you write, tell us the station that brings you the program, and it would be a very nice thing if you would write to the management of the station and say, "Thank you for Unshackled." If you need spiritual help now, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago at Wabash 2-1462.